Good to be together, to hear God's word, to hear it read so beautifully and heartfelt, and to share in this time together in this new beginning to the school year. We have obviously begun our lives in this way, and it's good for us to purposefully look at these opportunities in our lives like a new school year to renew our faith in God, to begin anew in a way that He leads us to, so that we know that it isn't just one continuation of one thing in our lives into the other. I think it's wise for employers to also help their employees in work, or the teachers in schools to be able to help their workers and also their students and their fellow teachers to have that sense of renewal, to bring refreshment into the workplace, into the schools. And brothers and sisters, you are the means by which that can happen. Because you know the Almighty God, and you know the one who has inspired the Psalms that say, "Sing a new song unto the Lord." And so in your life, let us help in that direction in our church, to go out from here and to bring the refreshment of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving power and hope that is in Jesus Christ. And yet now, as we look at this prayer, to know that the Father in heaven loves the world, and He gave His Son, Jesus, to prove it. And He gave the Holy Spirit to live in us after Jesus ascended into heaven, where He intercedes for us and helps us, so that when you go into your school or your workplace, that you know that there is a God with you, that He is with you there, that He is at home with you, that He is at a sports event, at a music event, at a rehearsal, at a piano lesson, at a tutoring lesson, at the playground, or wherever it is that you find yourself in some place that you are, that you represent the light of the world, that you represent God. It is a very, very important message. And we were talking last week. Many people were away for the long weekend, and we began this year already last week with the prayer that we're reading today. It was, however, found in the book of Luke, and it was a different kind of a situation where Jesus taught His disciples after they asked Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so He taught them these words. It's a little bit different in the Luke version. And there are some things that Jesus didn't mention there. But today we are reading one that we're more familiar with and that we actually sing at the end of our worship service every week. And hopefully, I really believe, and I think that the other leaders will agree with me, that God wants us to look at this prayer, this Lord's Prayer from Jesus Christ, as the basis for our lives this semester, this year, this school year, and for our year together in the Lord, that we really go into a much deeper place of appreciating it and learning what it means, not only by memorizing it and repeating it that way and reciting it, but living it. Amen? That we come into those places. And so I just pray today that we would let the Holy Spirit speak to us, to come and to tell us in our individual lives what these words mean and how God is addressing that in each one of our lives. And so let us take a closer look at these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Before this, right, Scripture is always to be approached from what comes before it and what follows it, so that you have an association with what is happening, right? It's not just written rotely, like one rule after another. It is connected to the lives of people and their relationships with God. And so this is the same in the book of Matthew. And it's prefaced by Jesus telling the people who are listening to him in this Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, you must not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then pray like this. And then we have the prayer that we know is the Lord's Prayer. Some people refer to it as the disciples' prayer. But whichever name we give to it, it is the same prayer. And so it begins with our Father in heaven. And so you can take that in for a moment. Don't pray empty words. Amen? I do. I'm guilty of that, okay? I pray empty words because sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to pray, and so I'm just going to do it, you know? But I feel empty, and the Lord is thinking, what are you doing? You know, I'm not looking for many words. I'm not looking for you to show off or prove anything. What I want is your heart. What I want is you. And so that is so reassuring that we have a God in heaven who is saying that to us. I want you. And that carries over into our relationships with one another, right? We don't have to show off. We don't have to try to do great things to, you know, prove ourselves and things like that. What a wonderful way to have church, right? To have a church where we come as we are and we seek God together and we want to love one another and not feel like we're under pressure. Right? We want to be ourselves. We want to speak what's on our minds. And it's oftentimes hard to do that because it takes great trust. Right? But that is achievable when we approach God and we know that he is a God who we can trust. Right? But let's go into this beautiful, beautiful prayer together. And with that in mind, that we look for the sincerity and the things that Jesus, in just a few words, not many words, but in these few words, teaches us how we can pray. Our Father in heaven. Our means we, together. It doesn't say I, my Father. It says our Father in heaven. And so right there, it's a relationship. It's relational, right? That we are praying as a church, and that is what God is calling us to. Now, can you pray this prayer as one? Yes, you can do that. It doesn't mean that you can only pray this prayer in community or around other Christians. But it reminds us that we belong to God and we also belong to one another. He could have said, my Father in heaven, but he said, our Father in heaven. And so right away, we are one. We are together in that way. And then Father, right? Our Father. And that in itself would be a good point to stop in saying this prayer and reflecting on our Father. It's very thought-provoking, but it's the Holy Spirit works inside of us, and perhaps it would take you to a place of recalling something about a Father. But the main thing is that we think about our Father in heaven, and we were talking about some of these things last week, and so if you hear them again today, I hope that it will be just a means for you to be reminded. We all need reminders of things that we hear. But the Father also is relational, right? That we come from him. He is our creator, God. He is our Father who made us, who gave us our lives, right? That we think of God that way, so you can also think in that kind of way. Oh, our Father who gave me life. My life is dependent upon you. I did not come merely from some explosion in the world. I did not come just simply by accident into this world some miraculous way that is unknown. It is we read it in God's word that we came from God. And so that is the best place that Jesus is teaching us to come from, to be reminding ourselves that we come from our Father and we have a relationship with our Father. Amen? And there's much more that we can say about these things, but explore that with your prayer and your thoughtfulness in prayer, right? That's what God really wants us to do. Not many words so that you're talking all the time, but that you take a pause, like in music, when we pause and there's a rest, that we rest in the words and the phrases and ponder them and think and ask the Lord to minister to us so that we can hear his voice gently talking to us in these kind of prayers. Our Father in heaven, do you believe that there's a heaven? Right? This is one of the things that Jesus wants them to be reminded of. There is a heaven, and our Father is in heaven. He is higher than we are. He is the one who created all the things that we see. Our son sent us a beautiful, beautiful photo of a double rainbow that appeared down in Philadelphia. It's remarkable. I mean, it's breathtaking. And he was spreading it around and showing it around, and they were sending it among the church people too and showing them. I'll send it to you. You can see it. It's a miracle of these things. And it's there in the heavens, but God is beyond all the heavens that we see. He is in heaven. This place where there is no crying and there is no dying and there's no sin and there's no weeping, there's no disease, all of these things where this perfect God lives there and he desires for us to join him there. And so we are connecting ourselves, and so many times we have darkness in our lives and things that happen in our lives and we're lifted from that. And Jesus is saying, come here to your Father in heaven. Oh, man. What a wonderful God, what a wonderful Savior to teach us how we can pray, to be knowing that there is a Father in heaven who created us and loves us and is speaking to us from heaven, and we want to be one with him, and he comes to us to be one with us from that place. It's a glorious place that we will be in as believers in Jesus. And so we're taken away from this kind of a place that we often find ourselves in darkness and in weariness and things that are struggles. Yeah. We were praying downstairs in my office just before, and was thinking, Lord, you know, there's so many things to think about, so many different things that come up even in the course of a worship service or planning for things and things like that. But we want to breathe. We want to breathe in the love of the Father in heaven. We want to let him minister to us in our lives so that we are filled with hearts of rejoicing, that our attitudes are not weighed down with the burdens of this world, because there is a God who is greater than all of those things, and he desires for us to experience that in our lives. It's so hard, right? Because I do it all the time. I hope you don't mind when I confess these things, but the Bible says we should confess our sins to one another. But I am always frustrated with myself because I put God on hold while I take care of this list. And I'm determined to change. I'm not saying that because I'm going to be defeated by it. I'm saying it because this prayer is helping me to know that God loves me. And he doesn't want me to do that. And so don't do that to yourself either. Seek the Lord and take that new beginning every time, over and over again. It's not just the beginning of September. It's over and over and over in our lives. We are being renewed and being given new hope, so that when we come into a situation that we face and some of the things Jesus talks about, we are filled with joy. Just seeing your faces today fills me with joy. I can't imagine ever not being in church. It's the high point of my entire week. It always was. It was taught to me. It was taught to me by people like the people that stand here today to teach. And I looked forward to it because they were there. I looked forward to it because they were going to meet with me and teach the Word of God to me. I love them. I love them still. And that's what we want to feel as students of God's Word. We love the people who are teaching us the Word of God. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. It is not a pronouncement to say, now God is going to be holy because I say that. It is a recognition that we know that God is holy, and it gives us hope in a broken world where there's so much unholiness to know that we have a God who is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Can you say it together with me? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, amen? That came from this. It comes from Holy God. It's not just some words that someone wrote in a hymn. It comes from God's Word, and we are to acknowledge Him as such. He is holy, and we bow before Him, and we recognize that He is the one who is greater than we, and we want to be with Him. We want to learn from Him because He teaches us what it means to be righteous, what it means to be just, what it means to be fair and loving. Those are all elements of holiness. The other things that have to do with falling away from that have to do with unholiness, things that don't belong with God. And so we want to be with Him always because He helps us to see what we were here made for here in this earth, to be not holy like goody-goodies, but holy in the sense that we love a righteous God and He has the best way to live. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, that we live in a kingdom, that it's the kingdom of the King, God our Lord. Amen? We have a great King, don't we? King of kings, Lord of lords. Amen? We have a King that is for eternity, an eternal King. If you go to Psalm 145, I have it memorized, but when I'm standing up here, I forget things. But it's one of the things that stands out, that this is a psalm that the Jewish people read 3 times a day to remind themselves of what they should be doing and who they belong to. Right? It says here, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, verse 11. They shall speak of the kingdom of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. We need to be talking about that, right? We need to be talking about that in our lives and sharing that for the new beginning, this new beginning. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Kingdoms of mankind will fall, but the Lord's kingdom is eternal, and so we belong to an eternal holy God. And those are the things that we want to be expanding our hearts with this now at this time. Really, we want to deepen that kind of a realization and go there with the Lord. Oh God, your kingdom come. Let it come now. Let it come now, and let there be a change in the world and the way that they see things, so that there is an end to all of this nonsense of violence and killing, of striving to have and claim land for a country or things of this nature, that God is saying, I am God, and all these things that you have in this world belong to me. I am the one that created them. And so act like you know that. Act like you know that there is nothing that we own that God has not given to us. Act that way in your lives. Call for my kingdom to come. Call for my kingdom to come. That's what Jesus is telling them. We're supposed to pray for it. Your kingdom come. Jesus, when he came from heaven to earth, was the kingdom of God coming into this world to show what the kingdom of God was like, that it was filled with love and compassion, that it was filled with mercy and grace, that it was filled with forgiveness, that it was filled with loving your enemies. It was filled with honoring God with our lives. It was this kingdom that Jesus came to show was filled with self-sacrifice, Someone coming, the Son of God, the Son of God, leaving glory and coming into this gloryless place because of our sins and sharing life with people and talking to them. And this is what he shared. This is how he spent his time, praying. And that is what he's calling us to do. You see the beauty and the greatness of God all through this. And that's what Jesus is teaching to them. Right? And you can look through all of the scriptures and you'll see the kingdom of God being preached, but it's really through Jesus that it is shown the best, that it is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, as I was saying last week, the kingdom of God comes into our hearts when we give ourselves freely to God and allow him to have our lives. Give our lives over to him. Let your kingdom come in the way that I have been looking at things on the internet. Let your kingdom come in the way that I'm talking to my spouse. Let your kingdom come in the way that I'm raising my children. Let your kingdom come in the way that I work so that I work in a just and a righteous way. And let your kingdom come so that, Lord, I am going to be able to say to people with full assurance and with full gusto that you are my God and that he came for you. Let your kingdom come and take over my very being, my soul, all that I am. Let your kingdom come. That is what Jesus is teaching them. Your kingdom come. We can't live without your kingdom, which is eternal. Let your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, and then your will be done. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Amazing thought, right? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. It is possible because Jesus Christ shows us this possible. He came to earth for that very purpose, to teach us the kingdom is eternal, giving us eternal life by taking away our sins, washing them away on the cross. And giving us this. And how did he attain that? By following the Father's will. By being the greatest example of doing the Father's will and showing that your will be done in me. Can we all say that in me? Your will be done in me, Lord. Your will be done in me, Lord. That's it. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes you're like, I know what I'm going to do. And Jesus is saying, this is the way you should pray. And this teaching is going into people and they're thinking, oh, wait, okay, so that's a tough one. I was meeting with some very dear people. A friend of ours' daughter was getting married from Taiwan. It was during COVID. It was kind of sad for them because the parents were in Taiwan. People couldn't travel and these kids wanted. I used to change her diaper, but one time in Taiwan, but she was getting married. And so we were doing some counseling, right? We were meeting together and we took out the, 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, right? And we went through that. You know the verses, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't seek its own way, right? Those are also very challenging words, aren't they? I mean, it's like, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done on earth, meaning in me, Lord. And I know it's for the earth and everybody else because we sometimes think like I'm a Christian and everybody else needs to listen to this, but it's for us, right? I always remember young lady's words. She stopped and she said, when we said, you know, you have to look out for the others first and you have to really want, you know, and not hold grudges. And she said, that's a tough one. And that's exactly the kind of thing that will help her to change. When we recognize that we say, yeah, that's a tough one. Thy will be done. Meaning, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Where is that in us today? Whatever you say to me to do, Lord, I will do it. It's the call that goes out from missionaries, people who say, hear the call of God to leave all of their things and to go into some foreign country and to learn a language that is very difficult, to live in conditions that are very hard to take and far away from their loved ones. We talk to missionaries that we support in our church all the time that talk about that, separated from their family in New York, one of them, who has a grandchild she never sees because she has given her heart to God and done the will of God and said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Starting with me, I will go, even though I miss my daughter, my grandchild. That is what God is calling us to do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that is what God is calling us to in these situations, to say, what is your will for my life? How can I give up those things so that I can follow you completely, Lord? And go back to this chapter again in Matthew. Take a look at the rest of these words together. Right. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a recognition that God gives us the things that we need to feed our bodies. It's a recognition that we are not our own providers, that we don't have the things that we have because of our own efforts, the things that we do. It is provided from God. The example in the Old Testament of Moses that we read in our Bibles teaches us the meaning of bread. That it fell from heaven and was provided for the people in the wilderness so that they would learn that God is their provider. How are they going to survive? Because God is going to send bread down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread each day. And we are to pray that. And if it's a daily bread thing, doesn't that imply that we should pray this each day? Right, so it's all these different things that Jesus is helping them to say. This is something that you are to do on a daily basis, not just one time, but pray this prayer. Right, at least remember when you're eating food before you eat it to bless, Lord, bless this food that I'm about to eat, to know that it has come from your hand. I had a friend in college who told me once I was used to, in my own family, when my father really wasn't very deep in his faith, he was going through things. And so some of the things that he said when we were eating and having a prayer around the table kind of gave me a sour look at prayer. You know, I kind of felt like, oh, well, you know, praying before we eat just made me remember that time. My dad was a wonderful father. He loved us, but he didn't understand some things as a growing Christian. And I remember saying something about that to my friend in college, and she said, "In my family, that is all we have. And so I look forward to that time of prayer around the table because it's such a blessing to have that time around the table together." And so she didn't appreciate me saying that, you know? So I changed because she said that, and I saw that actually it is something that I was wrong in my thinking about. Just because someone does something in our lives or says something in our lives doesn't mean that we have to let it affect our walk with God, does it? We have understanding perhaps for the things that are going on in our lives, but we help one another to get back on the path we should be on. But brothers and sisters, we're going to be celebrating the communion today, and the bread of heaven that came down from heaven is Jesus. And that is the great reason for this part and incorporating it here. Give us Jesus every day. Give us Jesus, the bread of heaven, every day. Give us today our daily Jesus. That he's a part of our lives every day. But really the main thing is that we are to recognize that God is our provider. And the next one, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And so we are to ask God to forgive us each day as well. These are the practices that Jesus is giving to us in his prayer. And he's saying, this is the way you should pray. These are the things that should be incorporated in your life, not just once on Sunday for the week, although that is also important. When we come to church, we confess our sins. And it's important in our worship to do that, because all of the rest of our worship is then freed and we can rejoice. But it's the same kind of a thing. If you look at your prayer that you're given on Sundays to confess, you can use that each day. Not just leave it in, you know, behind, or, you know, just in your thoughts or wherever, somewhere in church on Sunday, but bring it into your lives. Hang it up on your wall. Say it. We put it in a place that you're going to be reminded, I need to come before God and confess my sins today. Right? Forgive me. But this concept of forgiveness is one of the most crucial parts of our lives that exists in our world. Can you imagine how it would be if every nation and all of everybody the leaders were praying for and everybody would exercise forgiveness? Think about it. I don't hear much about that part. I only hear people trying to invent new ways to lie. People need the truth. And they're very, very able to deal with the truth. But when we don't hear the truth and people don't practice the truth, it throws everything into disarray. Because it just leads to one more lie and one more lie and one more lie. All these kind of things. It begins in the simplest way. But to obey God is really coming through to this prayer, and also to be able to understand that we are not just merely to read this and to say, Lord, forgive me of my debts and forgive us of our debts and lead us not into temptation. No, to really mean it. To say, Lord, I have been carrying around this grudge in my heart, like we were doing in the marriage counseling. Lord, I've been carrying around this burden, and I've been carrying this sin around, and I'm tired of it. I need to give it up to you so that you can, Lord, teach me how to live, and that I won't live a lie anymore, and I can be free to be the joy that you want me to be, and to know that there is much more joy and much more to be offered in freedom from sin and from that sin that we have been holding in our hearts, than if we were to hold on to it and say, no, I'm going to my grave this way. And I have met people who have told me that. I will never forgive them for that. And Jesus says, don't do that, because that is going to lead you into a very desperate, dark place. Forgive me of my sins and spend some time with that one. Take a pause, take a rest, and pray about the things that you need to pray to God about, that you have been carrying. And if there's none there, so be it. Praise God. But if the Holy Spirit teaches you about where you need to change, receive it. Thy will be done. Thy will be done, Lord. It makes me tired just thinking about how many times I was holding on to sin and things to not forgive people and to move on and to be reconciled with them. I was in my church growing up as a kid, and I was fighting with my mother, and she was on one side of the church, and we used to sit in the same pew. It was kind of like over where Chris and Esther are sitting there in this church. And we would sit there for years and years and years. And when I got into this fight with my mother, I was walking way away from her as far as I could go on that part of the church, and looking over at her. And she looked at me with these eyes that were filled with tears, and I didn't change. And that is exactly what we do. We want to be as far away from the solution, regardless of what pain people are going through, because of our sin. We don't want to be like that, do we? as we also have forgiven our debtors. Recognize that we have been forgiven. It's a very, very simple concept. We have been forgiven by God. Therefore, we are to forgive others who hurt us. Jeremiah, the study of Jeremiah Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Jeremiah, learning how we can do what God is saying. Thy will be done in my life. I want to live my life in a holy way before you, Lord, and I'm aiming for excellency. And Jeremiah was talking to people who would not listen to God. And there was a king, King Jehoiakim. And God came to him at the end of his life when he was king over Israel. And he said to him, you have been disobedient since you were young. You've been that way since I knew you when you were a youth, and you're the same now, and you haven't changed. Why would we want that to happen? What a sad story. Do we want to be that kind of a sad story where we're going to hold on to things and never change and never want to receive God's will for our lives and just say, I was that way before, and now I'm just going to be that way, and I'm going to be against God, and I'm not going to care about what he says to me? And God went to those people through Jeremiah, and he said, other people, you obey other people, and I'm going to show you some people that are obeying earthly people, but you don't listen to me. Why is that? So you see, this Father in heaven that we're coming to calls us to a very, very high level of living, because he is a holy God, and he has made us in his image, and he expects us to give glory to him in the way that we live, in the way we talk, and the way that we write, and the way that we live in general, all these things. He's calling us into this place and saying, I will reward you greatly. You are going to receive a great reward for all of these things. I only ask that you love me. I only ask that you're honest with me, that you forgive other people that are your enemies, that you live in a way that is going to represent being my child well. That is all that I ask. Is that too much to ask, brothers and sisters? No. So let us obey. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you see the wisdom in this part as well? Lead me not into temptation. If we were to begin the day that way, when I was pondering this, I was thinking about it, and I was really actually thinking to myself, here at this point in my life, that I still have a problem with doing that and praying those words. Lead me not into temptation. Why? Because I want to go there. I want to go to those places where the temptation is luring me in more than I want to do the Father's will, right? And so we have to be honest with ourselves and go there and think about that. What is it that is so enticing about those things that we want more than God? But Jesus is really just giving us this so that we can think about it, right? Lead me not into temptation. Help me not to go to the places that I've been going that I really shouldn't be. Right? And as parents, we want that for our children. Don't go there. Don't do that. You're going to get in trouble if you go over there. And God is doing the same thing. Don't go over there. Don't go over there. That is not the place. That is not where you need to be. Come to where people belong to righteousness and justice and goodness, and follow me. Why did Jesus have to go off as a shepherd and teach the thing about going off to find the lost? Because they were strayed. They went into temptation. They were lured into the things, just like the people in the example of Jesus telling the parable about sowing the seeds, and some falls here, and some falls here, and some falls here, and some of it was drawn away by people and drawn away by Satan because they allowed themselves to be overcome by that temptation. And again, it comes back to the same thing. It's a daily prayer, right? That we come before God and ask him for those things. But think about, this is where I think more than anything else that God is really trying to say to all of us. You haven't been thinking about this enough. You haven't really been taking this to heart. I want you to find a room. I want you to set it aside. I want you to go into that room and close the door. And I want you to spend 5 minutes with me, so that I can minister to you, so that I can talk to you about your life, so that I can give you the wisdom that I give so freely to those who seek me. I want you to go into that more than you're doing. I don't want you to just show up on Sunday. I want you to come to me and home or wherever it is that you choose to spend time with me, and I want you to go deeper into these things because there are things that you're doing that are still not in sync with me. And so if that is all I'm asking you to do, and you know what the result of that is? Blessing. Blessing. Great blessings. Right? Count your blessings. All these things that we have there. Why is it that we don't want that? We have to ask ourselves those questions and ponder that. And think about it. You know what results from people doing those kind of things? They become teachers. They become people who have been shown in their life experiences, yet I was like that and I relate to that with you, and that's what I heard when I was growing up. People telling me that God spoke to them through their lives and difficult situations and sinful things that they were doing, that he is the better choice. And that is why they're spending time with me. They're not there because they're being paid. They're not there because they feel like the church needs these kind of people. They were doing it because they love people. And they were sent by a loving God who said, go to these people and teach them how I want them to live. And live with blessing. That there's more important things than this world is offering to them. And without me, they are lost. Amen? That is why people do what they're doing in our church. They love God. And they understand that he has given them the word so that they can teach just as he has commanded them to do. And we oftentimes neglect them and we don't appreciate them. But they don't care because they know that God is pleased. And they also know the way they were when they were at your age. And we all make mistakes. We become servants of God when we begin to listen to him, and it comes out and we think, this is the best thing to do in life. I have kids. Some of you have kids. Some of you don't, whatever. But I know that, I hope that my kids know that I'm not impressed with the things they achieve in life. It's just merely by being them. And I feel the same way about people in church, too. I could be impressed with things. We're musicians. I can't tell you how many problems music brings. It brings boasting. It brings pride. It brings all kinds of different things when it's not done in the right kind of a way. Those things are good. All things are good when they're done to the glory of God. But we are people that are sinful, and there are still things that happen in life. And so the bottom line is not just that we like a good choir. We like the people in the choir. We love the people that are serving us with their voices and that are practicing on during the week and coming together and learning songs that talk about life and talk about things in Chinese and in Cantonese and Mandarin and English and Indonesian and French and whatever voice, all these things, because we are God's representatives. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are to use those gifts for his glory. Amen? That is what we are here for. It is not about getting praise. It is not being lifted up or having the greatest choir or having the greatest whatever. It is about Jesus. It's about him and all the things that he's doing in our lives. And that's why I go to church. Is it why you go to church? I hope so. Because we are gathered here as people who love God. And there's nothing more important in our lives than that. Yes, we fall. And yes, we can learn from these things how to change, but the bottom line is that we have a Savior who loves us. And we will never forget that. So let's take this beautiful prayer from Jesus, right? And ponder it and use it now as we begin this school year. Young people, take this prayer and pray it from the Bible. It helps sometimes to just look at the text. You know, you may know it by heart, but take this, pray it before a wrestling match. Pray it before a lesson, football matches, whatever it is, swimming matches, whatever it is that you're doing, everything that you're doing in life, read this. Take it with you. Put it on a piece of paper and hold it with you during the day. Pull it out when you're feeling unsure of life and when you're feeling like you don't add up or you don't match up with other people. Read about the love of God for you. Don't listen to other voices. Don't listen to other things that go on. Know that he is with you and he loves you. That is the meaning of life. And all adults here, the same thing. Anything that we do, take the Bible, eat it. Just like the prophets. Eat it. Bring it into yourself. Memorize it. Hold the Bible in your hand when you go somewhere. Right? All these things.